Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Hello, witches, and welcome to another episode of Business Witch. It is my pleasure to welcome a very special guest to the show today. She is a client and also a Broadway actor turned soulful ambition coach. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Annalisa Lemming.
Hi.
Hi. I am so excited for everybody to get to know you today. I know they're going to go right on over to your podcast and hit the subscribe button. It's called Soulful Ambition, by the way, but obviously you'll be able to find it in the show notes. But tell the people about your work in the world.
Ooh, my work in the world. Yeah. I'm so enlivened by working with big dreamers in whatever way that may be. And, you know, big, we often think of as like externally big, like I have this goal of writing a bestseller or something, which it very well could be that, but also like big dreamer of having just this rich family life where you're so plugged into your community and your life is vibrant. And so supporting people in that journey, because in order to do that, we're going to like walk through the shadows and we're going to experience doubt and the trance of unworthiness and all of these things. And I love like being the doula for your dreams and walking alongside of you while you do that.
That's beautiful. What do you think keeps people from believing in the possibility of their dreams?
I mean, so many things. We all have different upbringing and we are conditioned by, you know, society, of course, but also we have our each unique stories from our family of origin, you know. So I see a lot of like, it's too much, like it's too big or it's wanting too much. It's greedy. It's not humble. You know, I have to be humble. That's like a big thing I hear a lot. Fear of failure, of course, but also the fear of success. So there's like so much that we get to unpack. It's like the onion. You think it's this and then you're like, oh, I thought I was afraid of failing, but I'm actually really afraid of being that visible. And there's so many stories that have embedded themselves in our psyche and our system and our body.
How do you think being a Broadway actor informs this work? Because it's very clear to me, obviously, talking to you about it, but I want to paint that picture for people.
Oh, well, I'd actually like to hear what you think.
Really?
Yeah, I'm curious what it comes off as.
What I was thinking is just, so Annalisa, I asked her to sing at our mastermind retreat and I was like really embarrassed about it. But I also was like, oh, that would be just the most amazing thing that could happen. I like cried. I got very emotional about it because I think being a Broadway actor or being an artist is like the lost childhood dream of so many people. And it was certainly a childhood dream of mine to make art in some kind of a way. So to me, the connection is like, that was what you thought the big dream was. And then you went in this other direction of birthing big dreams. But I wanted to hear what you thought.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that informs my work because I'm like, hey, I reached the top of a mountain, which I thought would be like the top. And I got there and I'm like, okay, now what? You know, and I reached a certain point where I actually didn't even want to do it anymore. And that like untangling of who I am and what I do in the world was a brutal over a year long process of being like, who am I? And I think, you know, the more that we can do that in pursuit of our dreams, like do it in a way that it's not like, this is my identity, the healthier it is. So I'm constantly, whether I'm working with a Broadway actor, somebody who's aspiring to that or something not related to that at all, I think that I have this vantage point of seeing when you're like, oh, this is who you think that you are, right? And that because it hasn't unfolded in the way that you want it to just yet, like you haven't reached it yet, you're suffering so much because of what you're making that mean about you. And I'm just like here to be a walking billboard for like, we're so much more than the thing that we're desiring.
I don't think I've ever asked you this question before, but you were saying just now, like you got to this point where you didn't even want to do it anymore. Was that something that inside of you was saying to you and you were like, no, that's not true? And if so, for how long before you were like, okay, I really need to listen to this message? And what was that process like?
Oh, it definitely was in steps, stages. The first time I remember I was doing the national tour of a Broadway show, playing one of the leads. I think I did over 600 performances of that show, both on Broadway and the tour. And I was just like so over it on the road. And of course, I did everything I could to like stay present and grounded and grateful. But I was just like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And that was a weird thought. So I was like, okay, well, you're probably just tired of this show. And then cue the pandemic. It was 2020. I had my first son and Broadway was shut down. Of course, all theater was shut down. But I wasn't like itching to go back at all. But I thought, well, it's just because I'm like postpartum and I have a baby. Of course, I don't want to go back. And then I had the opportunity to go back to a hit Broadway show when theater opened back up. And I'd already started coaching a little bit. Like that's what I was doing remotely. And I loved it so much. And I was like, I couldn't imagine at that time growing it to a place that it would sustain me in the way that a Broadway show could, though. So I definitely was like, well, of course I'm going to do this show. But I kept thinking like in the back of my mind, like, but I just kind of want to coach. I just kind of want to do this, but I can't see how it would happen. Well, my agents called me and they said, honey, it turns out that that's how they talk to you. You know, they're like very old white men. Love you. And they're like, honey, the shows just called us and they let us know that your track, the role that you're going to be playing has become like this huge dance role, which I'm not. And so you can still do the show, but you're going to be like this little ensemble part. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't want to do that. And they were like, yeah, we totally support you in turning this down. So it was such a gift. The universe supported me in that, like moving away from it. So I turned it down, but of course I was scared shitless. Who am I now? My pride was really bruised. Like it wasn't this clean thing of like, thank you, universe. Now I'll become a coach. Like I went kind of kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was using the tools that I was using to coach and just really trying to get in there. And it really became this huge inner journey because I actually, while I wanted to coach, it wasn't suddenly this like huge dream like performing had always been. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who am I now that I don't have this like massive external goal I'm working towards, like a Tony Award? And it just became this year-long inner journey of like, what is my soul? And began to listen to it. And it was so beautiful. And so then the coaching began. It was like I was teaching voice lessons and had a couple coaching clients. And I got a couple more coaching clients and then let go of a few voice students. And then, so, you know, it probably took me about a year to fully transition into only coaching clients. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, just like not neat and pretty on the outside. But yeah.
I love that. It reminds me too of this metaphor I always think about that's related to diabetes, but I have to give myself a shot every time I eat food. And if you clench, like in the beginning, I was afraid of needles. I had like needle phobia when I was diagnosed. And when you clench, like when you fight the needle, it makes it sting. But if you completely relax your muscles and you just exhale, you don't feel it at all. And I always think about that as a metaphor for following like an intuitive hit or being brave enough to take a leap or hearing some kind of divine intervention and you want to not take it. You're like, no, like I don't, that's not real. Like that's just a blip. I'm just thinking that or whatever. And that's the clench. And it makes the inevitable of like, well, if you're diabetic, you need this shot in order to eat food. Like you have to do it eventually anyway. It makes the inevitable hurt. And then if you do what the opposite of your inclination is, which is to allow the unfolding, it doesn't hurt. I mean, sometimes it does a little bit, but not in the same way. And that's really what you're talking about reminds me of.
Yeah, that like resistance, it's the double whammy of like, it's a hard thing because it's new. It's not what your identity knows. But then if you're resisting it too, that's like the needless suffering. You might experience some suffering, right? But the needless one is when we're like, no, no, I can't do this. I won't do this, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Making the inevitable take longer.
Mm-hmm.
So people might be listening being like, okay, well, then you became a coach full time and you knew what you were supposed to do. And then again, you met a new, I don't know if you want to call it a mountain. I want to like let you use your own metaphor for the like next step of the journey. But then you were awoken to a new realization. And I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah. You know, this is where it feels, I have used the mountain metaphor of like, I was at one peak and then I saw there was another one, but it actually doesn't feel like this big, like I said, this big external vision. I feel like the last 2 years of my life has been following these little breadcrumbs and they're like coming from within and it's like, ooh, that's lighting me up today. Or like, I'm curious about that. I don't know where any of it's leading, which is a really inside out approach. Like I've always like, I think I wanted to be on Broadway since I was about 10 and I followed that until I was about 35. And so then the last 2 years has been this whole other thing of like, well, I really, really love working with people in this way. I don't know what it's going to look like. And I also am like, I know it's not going to look like this 10 years from now because of the rate of which I'm evolving. So I was doing this thing called the Paradox Process, which is an emotional management system. I found them when I was in New York City and I kind of like, they were my therapists, loved it. So I trained in it. That's where I started. And my soul was calling. Like I said, it was like this inner voice. I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to experience embodiment. And so I found my next teacher and I started going down this whole other path of rewilding, embodiment, shadow work, soul work. And it was like following that. And then it was like, well, what is this now? You know, and then I found you. And so it's like one little thing. And now when I go within and I'm like, what are you desiring? What are you longing for? I just hear like home, roots, community, like being involved, like gathering people. And it's like, yeah, it's so much identity shedding. So backwards. And, you know, we'll see 2 years from now where I am and what I'm doing.
Does it feel different this time in terms of how you're approaching surrendering to it?
Oh yeah. I'm like, in fact, yesterday I was on a hike by myself, like, you know, talking with self and like, what's happening? And this phrase that actually a client of mine uses, and I love it so much. And I said it out loud and I go, oh yeah, I know how this magic goes, which is the magic of surrender, which is the magic of like tuning into what am I really longing for? And it's like, my soul speaks to me in one word. It's like home. It doesn't speak to me in like a beautiful home surrounded by mountains, but you know, it's just like home because it's a feeling.
Yeah.
So this whole walk, I was just like holding the desire of the feelings. And I just know that I will receive what it is I'm meant to receive along the way. And it's beautiful. And then yes, there are moments where I'm totally freaked out and I'm like, I don't know. But for the most part, I can come back to this place so much quicker than ever before.
It feels very alchemical. Like it feels like the way that you even just talked about your hike, it feels like a ritual.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure that this is what you work with your clients on. But if you, for people who are listening, and that sounds very abstract, is there a way that we might be able to ground that for them? Like, I've never heard the inside of my body tell me something before. Like,
yeah,
I know what you mean, but I don't want to presume that everybody listening knows what you mean.
Yeah. Well, I'll just share this. If this is speaking to anybody, the book that fell into my lap when I sold my home in New Jersey and moved across the country, what it's called Entering the Castle by Caroline Miss. And it's all about the castle is your soul. And she takes you through all these different mansions of your castle. And each like little section is a prompt of like, okay, now go and meet soul and just ask this and listen. And you like pray for grace and you listen. And that's my first started becoming like, oh, that's the voice. Like, I know that voice now. So that was my teacher. And so maybe somebody listening was like that, you're meant to receive that. There's just so much more listening than ever before. It's like asking a question and then just being so quiet and getting still and feeling down into the hips and the sits bones. Cause that's where I feel it is like womb space below the belly button. it's also practicing and getting in those places where you can do that. I think that's been the biggest thing over these last 2 years is like finding those places to practice this as a skill. It kind of feels like another way of church. It's like I used to go to church as a kid and now I have my like grown up priestess church and have that soul food that I just long for.
You know, Caroline Miss was my first entry point also.
Wow.
But it was Sacred Contracts. I haven't read it during the castle. So maybe I was meant to hear that because I'm going to write it down.
Okay. Yeah.
At the end of this show, but also recommend Sacred Contracts to people.
Mm-hmm.
It is an incredible manuscript. But I want to talk about this awakening of, okay, you started your business doing one thing. And then you were like, I think it wants to be something else, which I'm assuming was a message that your higher self let you know. And what came up for you around, okay, I'm going to change this platform. I'm going to change who I'm talking to. And I don't want to leave anybody behind because I love them. But there's a different message here. And I'd love to share about that process because I know so many coaches pivot and pivoting can be scary.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. So the pivot for me was not so much the modality I was using, because I just started doing that with clients and just seeing how it went. And that happened, that unfolded beautifully. But it was, you know, I was calling myself a holistic performance coach. So I wasn't just like singing with people and coaching them on their auditions. I was doing the work that I'm speaking of now, but specifically for performers. And I have had a podcast since 2017. It was called A Balancing Act, and it was specifically for performers. And I knew that there was more there. I knew that there, that because people would stumble upon it and say like, hey, I'm not a performer, but I got a lot out of it. And I thought, cool. And, but this last year, I've still, you know, I've moved, I've been doing all this, but the podcast, my work was still for performers. And it started to feel really crunchy. Like I wasn't excited about talking to people about how to get into alignment before an audition because I'm not doing that anymore. So that was an interesting place to observe, just like that rub. And then all of the thoughts around like, yeah, but this is what you do. Yeah, but like all the resistance to even thinking it was possible to change. And I was on a retreat. I knew that I wanted to start going this direction, but I just like had no idea how. And I'd already found your work. You'd actually been on my podcast. And I had like done some of your free workshops and stuff. So you were already in my periphery. And then I went on a retreat last October with a whole bunch of my priestess training sisters that I had done this training program with. And I was talking about it. And they were all like, Annalisa, the stuff that you're sharing, like we get stuff from it. And I really needed to hear that. Like, and they started telling me how the things I was talking about apply in their lives. And that really opened up like, oh, so then I just took like all the things. And I think this could be applicable for anybody that's like in a pretty narrow niche and open it up. And I just took like the concepts. So like big dreaming or letting go of results. I mean, as an actor, we have to do that every day. You audition is like, let go of your attachment to results. So I just like took all these topics and I stepped back and it was like, yeah, this applies to like large audiences. So that was part of like the creative process. And I started playing with like, what would it be called and what would it be? And that's when I came upon this name of Soulful Ambition. And it just clicked. And I just knew that I couldn't do it like by myself, this transition. And so I like reached out to you and it's like, hi, I know you're starting a program. Is it too late to join? You're like, we start on Monday or whatever it was. It was pretty wild. But it was like the truth had to like anchor in.
Mm.
And then I knew, you know, the next steps. But then the transition with you of like 4 months, like writing the copy and, you know, I think the fear is gone now, Kara. Like the fear of it working or who is it for is gone.
Yay.
And I think a lot of it like had to do it. I just had to do it, you know, because I think I was feeling that up until I launched it, the new website, the new podcast, like everything. And yeah, it's pretty wild.
There's so much in there for people that I just want to like pull out to make sure that they caught that. So one, somebody is not even necessarily thinking about joining your program and then has some intuitive gut hit and might contact you either 2 days before it starts or 2 days after the cart closed. I tell my clients every single launch, somebody's going to contact you after the cart closes. And people don't believe me. And then I get this like LOL screenshot of the person who was like, is it too late to join? Because nobody is paying as much attention to the launch date as you are. You're all in your head like, where are all the people? And it's like, they're living their lives, having their own intuitive hits about whether or not working with you is right for them. And it has nothing to do with how like well you're executing things. So I want people to get that out of it. The second thing I want people to get out of it is the thing that you said about just doing it. Like those are my favorite one-on-one clients where you all are in such a state of knowing that on the other side of just doing it is everything. And of course, there's fear and resistance to just doing it that I process with people in sessions that is like really, really understandable, like makes all the sense in the world. But I love people who are like, I know that I'm doing this no matter what. We're not having the conversation about whether or not this is going to happen. All my feelings are here, but I'm going to go execute everything that we talked about and I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about it. And that's for every phase of business. You just have to get on your first enrollment call. You just have to get on your 10th enrollment call. You just have to go to the networking event. You just have to buy the program so you know how to build the thing. You just have to do the training. Like, it's not serving you to deliberate inside of your own mind about whether or not you should do the thing. That's not getting you anywhere. It's not helping you at all. But kind of conversely, the last thing that I think is really important is you couldn't rush the just doing it part. It was like the deep listening, the timing, the knowing, the planning of the execution. You couldn't have done that 6 months sooner. You couldn't have pushed, like, you know, I use the metaphor of pregnancy of like, you're going to have a premature baby if you try to get this out in 6 weeks, just so that you can be done with it. Like that there was an intentionality and a response to deep self-inquiry and like being strategic that is also part of just doing it. So I hope everybody took some notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something actually, I have a question for you if you're okay with that.
Yes, I'm okay with it because I want to know what the question is.
Yeah, just another podcast host asking you, ask a question. No, I'm curious like about, because I'm sure I'm not the only client like this, but I think one of the biggest gifts of our time together in the 4 month container that we did was like, because we're still together, but it's like you just kept reflecting back to me something that I couldn't see, which is like, Annalisa, you're already doing it. Like you have an audience hungry to buy, but you don't have anything for, you don't have any offers for them. I don't even love that to buy phrase, right? But like you have people wanting what you can share and teach, but you're not even consistently doing that. Like when you have these offers, people want them. And I think I was just too scared to put the offers out because I was too scared nobody would want them. And I think showing me that like every time we would talk and you'd be like, look, you just did this and this happened. And I it's like, I couldn't see that, but I do feel differently like in my body about that now. And I just launched something else. And within a week we had 5 people signed up and we have so long until the event. So like, it's going to be full, but I'm curious just from like your side about that, if you have words around that.
Well, I think one, you probably coach people on that in your own way where they like don't see the possibility of their big dream being possible for them. And you see it kind of inherently upon meeting them that even their desire for it is evidence of its possibility and it's like exuding out of them already. So I think it's really easy to see that in other people and really hard to see that in yourself. So I just want to name, like, you already coach people on that. So maybe this is meta because it's literally what you're at.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess, but just like your perspective on it and like, yeah, your words around it, because it's beautiful.
I think that it's also like, even at the biggest phase of business or the biggest phase of Broadway stardom, like everybody is doing this all the time. It's like, I think beauty is a really great metaphor for it. It's like you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, my forehead wrinkles are deeper than they were 6 months ago. And I've been drinking coffee every day and I need to whiten my teeth. And like somebody else looks at you and they don't notice any of that. And they're like, oh my God, her eyes or her hair or whatever is amazing. It's like we are so prone to look at ourselves with a hypercritical lens. And I think what I see very often, to bring it back to business, is that people are like, I haven't done anything. I think I wrote an email about this a couple months ago of like, people don't celebrate themselves, which you said too. You were like, people are afraid that they should be humble. You get that a lot, that being humble is an important, like, virtuous trait to have as a person. And so people come to me, they're like, I've never filled my roster. I've never had a wait list. It's like, you've coached 20 people in the last 2 years. Like, that's amazing. Or I only have 300 people on my email list. 300 people want to listen to what you have to say. If they were all in a room, wouldn't you be like, oh my God, so many people came to listen to what it is that I have to say? And I do it too. I'm like, when I talk about social media, I'm like, oh, I'm like not an influencer. Like, I have like more than 10,000 followers, but like, that's not a person of influence. And I'm like comparing it to people with 50,000 followers or 100,000 followers. And then other people look at my following and they're like, oh, you have a lot of followers. And always that conversation makes me go, blah, blah. But I'm bringing it up because it's such an example of like, to organically build a platform to that size over the course of 6 years, I've been writing and posting content most days with some gaps for like almost a decade. I wouldn't have even ever articulated or acknowledged that for myself had you not even asked me this question. So maybe like a prompt for people listening too is like, have you celebrated what you've already accomplished? You built a website. You like came up with a kick-ass bio. Like, you wrote a nurture sequence. You did your first ever class and three people came. Three people decided that what they wanted to do on Thursday night at 7 o'clock was hang out with you. Like, that's awesome. And so when you were coming into me and you're like, oh, like, I think my roster is almost full, but like, how do I take it to the next level? I'm like, the next level is busting out of you. Like, it's so obvious to me, but I understand why you're like, but really though, like, how? Because I'm doing it and everyone else I'm talking to is doing it.
It's such a gift of that container. Yeah. Thank you for, yes, because it just reminds me, yes, you're right. I do this with people all the time in a different way, like around different things. And just the gift, I think it's such, like, investing in coaching is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. Because like, how would I have, I would still be doing the exact same thing if I had not invested in our time together. 100%, I would still be doing the same thing. And I'm touching more lives this way.
You know what's crazy about that to me? I want to share, and we can cut this if you're not okay with it, but I want to share that I'm the first coach that you ever hired for business.
Yeah, I did a VIP day with somebody.
Okay.
But that was it. I did a tiny little 4-hour day with somebody like over 2 years ago. Yeah. And then here we are.
And so to have built the systems that you already had in place, like you already had a podcast and an email list, you were hosting events, like you built all of that without anybody telling you how to do it. Like, I just shout out to you. That's why I'm like, imagine what happens when you step into a support container where,
yeah,
you know, one of the simple things that I do for people, like going through their nurture sequence and being like, my love, like, this is not leading into your services. I'm not saying you did that, but I see that all the time. Of like, these systems are not set up for people to intuitively understand how to work with you. And you're still making money. Like, imagine what's going to happen when we just gently redirect the pipe so that there aren't any kinks in them and people are, you know, falling through the cracks. And so it was very, very, I didn't know that you hadn't worked with somebody else in a business capacity. Like, I would have assumed, based on the systems that you had and the way that everything was set up, that you did. So I appreciate that recognition. And I want to like acknowledge that what you did before you ever worked with me, I think, is something that people approach with a pretty significant learning curve.
Yeah. I am one of those people that I jump before I'm, quote, ready. I've always been that way. Like moving from Tennessee to New York and auditioning for Broadway, you know, like that's part of my, like, I have a mom that's very much that way, you know, so I'm grateful that I have, that I do have that kind of like in my blood. And then for me, one of the points of tension that I feel like I'm really, I don't know, like letting go into is this investment, because that's where like feels kind of scary for me, is like investing, knowing that I need to invest in this so that I can scale my business. You know, it wants to feel the other way around. It's like, well, once I hit this, then I can afford to bring on a coach to help me. And it's like, that's not what businesses do. We have to invest in order to grow. And that's why I decided to keep working with you even after the 4-month container, because it was like, well, yes, I could keep doing this on my own, but also what will be possible if I have somebody to keep checking in with and helping me as I grow?
Can we dig into that a little bit more? Because I
always dig.
I saw a post today. I don't even remember who posted it, but it was somebody sharing their like business expenses versus their net. Hmm. And they'd been in business for 5 years and they were sharing that they'd invested more money every single year than their business had made.
Oh, wow.
And I had this, I feel like I'm talking about something I shouldn't talk about. Like, ooh, this is controversial. Mercury is retrograde in Aries at the time of this recording. Am I going to get in trouble for what I say? Anyway, I read it and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like mathematically, that doesn't make any sense. How are you paying for your life expenses if your business has been net negative, you know, $3,000 to $15,000 for the last 5 years? Like that math is not mathing. I literally could not afford that. And I think that is something in the coaching industry where there's this kind of like messaging around like keep buying in at higher and higher rates to access more elite, I don't know if that's the right word, but like circles.
Yeah.
And then like in those circles, people will pay you higher rates. So you will make more money and just keep buying it and keep going. And I think there's a really big distinction between that and all businesses have startup costs. And if you're resisting making an investment to set up the foundational systems for your business, it's losing you money and costing you time and taking way longer than it would otherwise. But like that, those are two really different things that are often taught as the same mindset in our industry. So I wanted to like create a little bit of space for you to talk about like investing before you know that the ROI on that investment is guaranteed. But the difference between that and like just buying into more and more and more and more and more support, because that's the culture of coaching sometimes.
Yeah, like the idea of just like put it on a credit card, it's fine. That has always run me the wrong way. Like if you that like it's 25K, put it on your credit card. I think that we hear that a lot in the coaching industry, or this mastermind, like take out the credit card, put the $75,000 mastermind. Like, I don't know that. I think we just have to like to be that feels crazy at this moment in time. I'm also like thinking of my business model and what I know I plan to make the rest of the year. Like, I feel like I'm very, you know, some people are scared to look at their bank accounts. Like, where are you at in your relationship with your money right now? Like, I used to be that person. I never want to look at my bank account. I didn't want to know if I had debt, how much it was. Like, I had a very, lived in such scarcity. And so coming in like more right relationship with that, and my husband helps me with that a lot because he's a financial planner, and like looking ahead and going, okay, this is coming out, this is coming in. And then you can really make that educated decision based on, okay, well, yeah, maybe we don't have that money right now, so I do need to put on a credit card or whatever it is. But like keeping the whole picture of your whole, of all of your dollars versus like, just like trust your intuition and put on a credit card if you have to, or like, does that make sense? That sort of, yeah, okay.
It totally makes sense. I think what you spoke to is exactly what module 2 in Business Switch, for people who are like, we're listening to Business Switch, what modules are you talking about? I have a course, karakovacs.com/waitlist. You can, or karakovacs.com/course, you can go read all about it. But in module 2, we talk about looking at how much money you actually need to operate in your business. And I think that the culture of putting it all on a credit card and then the hypothesis is that that is going to work has put a lot of people into debt and made a lot of people feel disheartened or have feelings of it being disingenuous in our industry. And like that hurts my heart. And the way that I like to teach about this stuff is if you look at the numbers, like numbers are so healing and grounding, like it's not a hypothesis that you are going to sell coaching contracts. It's about how you build the system to sell those contracts. And if you're paying someone to help you build that system, just like you would pay, I don't know, an architect to build the interior of the restaurant that you want to have, you would pay that architect before people had bought food from the restaurant that you're going to sell food out of that doesn't yet have like any benches or any interior lighting, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you spoke to it perfectly, like that is the distinction. And thank you for helping me ground that point for people.
Totally. Yeah.
There was one more thing I wanted to talk to you about because it is a gift that you have for people here today. And also because I just think it's so much fun. Tell people what main character energy is.
Main character energy. It's just a fun practice. It's playful. A way of really stepping into our light and claiming our light, the light that we need to do like the big work we're here to do in the world. And I think it's a little less head on for those of us who are maybe scared to play like this big and this bull. And so it's like, okay, well, if you were the main character of your story right now, how would you want to write them doing the hard thing? That immediately like inspires me and I drop into something. And so also I'm bringing my acting background of crafting a character and a role. And like, that's a very embodied thing. What does it feel like to walk around your room as this main character? Or as I like to say, your star power, your bright light turned up, unapologetic, shining because it's the best thing for everyone. And so I'm all about like, what's your main character's song? And like, what are the thoughts that they think about their dreams? Like, hint, they think that it's possible. And I think a lot of the times in our default mode of just day to day going after it, if you really get in there, we are often finding ourselves in this state of like doubting. I hope it works. I hope it can work. I mean, I was doing that when I was working with you, right? And so it's like, well, Annalisa, what if you got into your main character, who I named Earth Priestess Annalisa? You can name yours whatever you want. But if I'm like, okay, hold on, I know what this feels like. Let me step into the character of Earth Priestess Annalisa. She knows that she's here on a mission and it's going to happen. And so immediately it's like this energetic shift and it's playful, which I think is also fun because we take ourselves so damn seriously. We take our work in the world so seriously, which is great. But I always need the reminder to lighten up and to play and have fun. And we learn so much faster through play like children. And so it's like, well, what if I have a client who was like, I like to walk the runway as my character in my room. I'm like, how fun is that?
Yeah.
So I have a series of emails that walk you through different exercises. And then the last one has, it's my favorite. It's like a 10-minute embodiment practice where I just have you like stand up in your space and stand as your character and walk around the room and say some of their lines of dialogue out loud. And it's really fun.
What is Earth Priestess Annalisa's song?
Oh, you can ask me that. I don't know.
Well, that was the first thing that I thought. I was like, I need to have one now. Like, you've given me several homework assignments from this episode. I'm going to read Caroline Miss's book. I'm going to make a main character energy playlist. I feel like there's something else. I'll have to re-listen.
I do have a playlist. I have this song right now that I'm so obsessed with. It's by the artist Fia, F-I-A. And the song is Shedding Skins. And she's like, it's very Earth Priestess. So maybe this is her song right now. But it's like, and this is a big part of my work too, which is it's all about seeing the demons inside of us and loving them. And I feel like that's what to me, Earth Priestess is like sacred in the mundane. And so there we go. That's mine.
Okay. So now I have to listen to that song. I'm like under the things I wanted to talk about today. I'm just writing myself some homework. Main character energy. So if people want to get their main character energy homework, tell them where to go.
So head over to annalisalemming.com and it'll be a pop-up and it says activate your main character energy. And it's all throughout the website as well.
And you know, we love to ask this on the podcast. Tell everybody sun, moon, rising.
Oh my gosh. Sun is Libra. Moon is it Gemini? Gemini. Rising is Capricorn.
Yes. Nailed it. And final question we always love to ask. What's your why? Why do you do what you do?
Oh, I just know that I'm here to wake people up, wake myself up and wake up others to the truth of who we are. That there's just so much more here than we have any idea, myself included. I'm not doing this as the guru, but like I'm waking myself up every day and I can't help but like pull people along with me.
I love that. Well, if you want to learn more about Annalisa, we've got all the links, social media, websites. You can pick up your main character energy gift in the show notes. And you can also head over to her podcast, the Soulful Ambition podcast, available on whatever platform you're streaming this podcast on. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye for now.